Tomorrow night, partly cloudy with a low of 57 and a light wind from the west-northwest. Saturday, mostly sunny with a high of 77 and a light wind. Saturday night, mostly cloudy with a chance of showers and thunderstorms, the low in the low 60s. Sunday, mostly cloudy with a chance of showers and thunderstorms and a high in the upper 70s. At noon Central Time, the northern two-thirds of Illinois and Indiana were cloudy, with temperatures ranging from the upper 60s to the low 80s. At Rockford, 67, O'Hare, 71. At Bloomington, it was 66. Mattoon reported 67 degrees, and at Carbondale, 80. South Bend reported light rain at the top of the hour, 68 degrees. Lafayette, 69. Indianapolis, 73. And Terre Haute, 71. Willard Airport reported a cloudy sky at the top of the hour, 70 degrees. The dew point, 61. The relative humidity, 73%. The wind out of the southwest at 14 miles per hour with gusts to 20 miles per hour. And the barometric pressure, 29.71 and falling. And at 12:38, 67 degrees in Urbana on the campus of the University of Illinois. While small towns may not have big crime problems, they still need law enforcement. As part of our series, Life on Route 150, Illinois Public Media's Sean Powers visited one town that's keeping its local police presence intact despite economic challenges, and another town that recently dismantled its police force to save money.
If you've ever lived in a small town with a local police department, you might just notice how connected that town's police force is with the community.
You see, you broke the law.
Now, let me finish. Now, it's from little misdemeanors that major felonies grow. And it's my duty, it's anybody's duty, to stop them before they get too far. Gomer, you'll be a better man if you'll try to think of us all working together for a common cause.
People refer to you as Mayberry or something, but it's just me.
65-year-old Denny Thrasher is the police department in Mansfield, Illinois. Population, 906. He came out of retirement to take this job. Thrasher says he sees how people could connect him with the Andy Griffith Show universe.
Easy going until it's time to get in there and do it. Would I arrest my nephew? Been there and done that.
When Thrasher patrols the streets of Mansfield in his village-issued SUV, it's hard to find somebody who doesn't wave or strike up a conversation with him.
Hey, what are you doing? You got more kids.
This one's my nephew, and I had a third.
The village budgets around $20,000 a year to manage its one-man police force, with items like a squad car, body armor, and police radio. Whenever there's an issue that Thrasher can't handle, the village may ask the Piatt County Sheriff's Department or the Farmer City or Mahomet Police Departments for help. Village Treasurer Jonathan Manuel says the police budget has grown, but has also remained fairly steady over the last few years.
Denny manages and the board manages their money. They make it go a long ways, believe it or not.
Our problem is being on the north end of the county.
That's Mansfield's deputy mayor, Don Deffenbaugh.
If the county's got one guy out and he's in B-Mint, we don't have anything. I mean, the county helps wherever we need them, but there's some times that they don't have any availability. So we will do everything we can to man a police department here in the village.
What's going strong in Mansfield has withered away in the village of Ogden in Champaign County. Both towns have just under 1,000 people. Ogden spent approximately $4,300 a year in property taxes to help fund its local police presence, but the village board recently disbanded it to save money. But you wouldn't know that if you tried calling them.
You have reached the Ogden, Illinois Police Department. If this is an emergency, hang up and dial 911.
The person you're hearing on the other line is former Ogden Police Chief Bill Smoot. Smoot works for the University of Illinois Police Department, but would spend a few hours each week running Ogden's police department, made up entirely of part-timers. Smoot says the Ogden police force created a sense of stability.
Ordinances are there to, if you will, in some cases, kind of a housekeeping type of a thing to make sure people follow rules and place looks nice. If it's they're not followed, over time, the village can fall into decay and decline.
It's those lesser offenses that may not get enforced without the Ogden Police Department. Mayor Jack Ridner says the village will rely on the Champaign County Sheriff's Office for 911 calls. Sheriff Dan Walsh doesn't anticipate that will have a huge impact on his department. He says his officers were already responding to calls in Ogden to help the part-time small-town force while it existed. Before the village board decided to scrap the police department, residents were asked if they would pay an additional tax to support it. A majority of people said no. Ridner says as much as he wanted to keep a local police presence, he says the board had to come to terms with the financial challenges facing the community.
It wasn't an easy decision by me or the board to go ahead and do it because, you know, now we look down the road and say, well, what are we going to have to do if we ever want to recreate it? It's going to be an expense.
That's a chance Ridner is willing to take if it means improving Ogden's economy.
One of my board members came up and said, look, he says, you can have a police officer here 24 hours a day, but you're not going to solve all crime. Number two, you can have people here part-time, but soon as they leave, you might have crime. So do you need a police officer?
A question many small towns are asking themselves as they weigh the value of security versus solvency. I'm Sean Powers, Illinois Public Media.
To hear this story again and listen to extended interviews, visit our website, willconnect.org. As drivers get their cars ready for summer road trips, Valvoline is marketing a new, greener car oil. Scott Graff of NPR member station WFAE in Charlotte has more.
You may have seen the ads for Valvoline's new oil, Next Gen, on TV.
Just because I'm a car guy doesn't mean I don't care about the environment.
Or being green, as if all I care about is my car.
My engine.
The messaging is unusual because Next Gen is made from 50% recycled oil. Recycled oil has been around for decades, and it used to have a bad rap. Oil analyst Terry Dyson runs Texas-based Dyson Analysis. He's sort of a guru in the oil industry and has consulted with NASCAR teams. He says the old way of cleaning used oil wasn't very good.
Basically, what they've done is run them through a clay filter to get the majority of the larger particles out of the used oil. And everybody knew you were taking your chances with it.
But re-refining technology has gotten much better. Tom Smith is a Valvoline vice president.
We can now get a base oil from a re-refiner that's every bit as good as a virgin base oil.
Smith says additives in motor oil wear out, but most oil consists of base oils, which can be used again and again. And Valvoline points to independent research that shows re-refining oil is better for the environment than mining virgin crude. But does recycled oil protect your engine? Dyson, the oil analyst, says NextGen exceeds the industry standard for conventional oil. Valvoline is the first major company to market a recycled oil, and it's likely that other major companies will soon follow suit. For NPR News, I'm Scott Graff in Charlotte.
The Prius, Toyota's flagship green vehicle, is facing some stiff competition from other automakers launching hybrids. So, Toyota is responding by making the Prius its own brand. Tracy Samilton of Michigan Public Radio has that story.
Go ahead and roll out all the stereotypes about Prius owners. Lauren Squires, a resident of the college town of Ann Arbor, Michigan, has heard them all, and she's not a bit defensive about it.
I don't own Birkenstocks anymore. No, I used to. I don't have any currently. I do make my own granola.
Squires bought her Prius in 2007. That year, Toyota sold more than 181,000 Prius cars here. Car sales of all kinds have dropped since then, but Toyota is still the undisputed king of the hybrid. In fact, the Prius accounts for more than half of all the hybrid cars sold here. Squire says her Prius suits her lifestyle just fine most of the time.
The only thing that sometimes I'm lacking on space is if I can't fit my bike inside, which I could fit inside some vehicles.
More space. That's what Americans always seem to crave in their cars. Toyota's Kirk Forst says the five-passenger Prius V will appeal to people who've always wanted a Prius but figured it was just too small.
They've got two kids, a dog, and all the things that come with that, all the strollers and baggage and bags, and it's a little tight. So the Prius V gives them an option with all this extra cargo space to be able to get all the things they need and still drive a green vehicle.
But the Prius is no longer the only green vehicle. Ford, Honda, and GM all sell hybrids, too. So far, Prius has been to hybrid as Kleenex is to tissue, or Levi's is to jeans. That kind of customer recognition sells cars and elevates a company's image. Toyota's Ed LaRoque says the Prius V could boost overall Prius sales by another 15 to 20%.
97% of all Prius that we've sold since we launched in 2000 are still on the road today. So, you know, that tells us that they're reliable, customers have accepted them, and, you know, we think the future is bright for all hybrids.
But don't forget, hybrids cost more, and demand has always been closely linked to gas prices. LaRoque acknowledges as much, but says even in the short run, he's not worried.
You know, we don't expect gas prices will go down below $3.50 a gallon anytime soon.
Expanding Prius is also part of Toyota's plan for stricter CAFE standards. It will be difficult for car companies to meet those mandates without selling more hybrid cars. While LaRoque says the Prius has made Americans comfortable with hybrids, Bill Visnick, an analyst with EdmundsAutoObserver.com, isn't so sure.
I'm surprised at how many people still think hybrid cars, you know, need to get plugged in, you know, that you have to plug them in. It's really quite surprising to me that after 11 years in the market, how many people still don't really understand how hybrids work.
And Visnick says there's another problem with the Prius, as popular as it's been.
And the fact is that it's very much known as a weenie sort of a car, you know, and sort of a car for people who, you know, are driving too slow in the fast lane.
Visnick says the first company that figures out how to make a hybrid car sexy and cool will gain a competitive edge. So far, that hasn't been Toyota. But he says Prius is still the standard bearer. It's always going to represent the bar. Toyota's supplier problems will slightly delay the launch of the Prius V. It's now due here in late fall. Toyota will add two other members to the Prius brand next year. To add to the confusion, one of them will be the kind of hybrid you have to plug in. For NPR News, I'm Tracy Samilton in Ann Arbor.
There's just a short time left to raise the remaining portion of our membership goal. Here's how you can help. If you've received a letter asking you to renew your membership or make an additional gift, please respond as generously as you can. Your contribution by June 30th will make a powerful impact on the programs you'll enjoy all next year. Mail a check to 300 North Goodwin, Urbana, Illinois, 61801. And thank you. And here is the Writer's Almanac for Thursday. It's the 23rd of June, 2011. It's the birthday of the novelist C.E. Morgan, born Cincinnati.